Manufacturing has never been more important to a country than in the current time. Why? Considering the geopolitical tensions that's going across the world, manufacturing is the backbone for any country. It may not contribute as much on the GDP, but to even fight a war, you need to have manufacturing.
Welcome to the Data Bytes podcast. I am so happy to have you here today. How's your Friday been so far?
Fantastic.
Yeah. How, it's hard to have a bad Friday, right?
It's not.
So we're here to talk about digital transformation and particularly in manufacturing. And so would love to just level set for everybody. What is the state of manufacturing today, and why does it even mean digital transformation?
Well, you asked a very loaded question now. So manufacturing has never been more important to a country than in the current time. Why? Considering the geopolitical tensions that's going across the world, I would say manufacturing is the backbone for any country. It may not contribute as much on the GDP, but to even fight a war, you need to have manufacturing, just to give you as an example. So it's critical and important, and that, of course, when people are talking about inshoring and being reliant, you need to have manufacturing that's strong and efficient so that the country can flourish. Okay, that's manufacturing. And then when we talk about digital, this is the new wave. So an opportunity to leapfrog, I would call it as a renaissance in manufacturing through the digital revolution.
So what do you see as some of the key challenges in making this leap, right? To be able to, what do companies face when they're undergoing this digital transformation journey?
So if you think about it, what constitutes digital transformation in the manufacturing? So we call it the Industrial Revolution 4.0, Industry 4.0. So you have a bunch of technologies. So the 3.0 is powered by computers, chips, and everything else. 4.0 with your interconnected devices, sensors, IoTs, along with the machines. Now, when we talk about it, there is at least 12 to 15 different technologies we're talking about, even in manufacturing, from cobotics to big data analytics to cloud computing and edge, and your virtual reality, AR, how do you take advantage of all these things? Now, when we talk about challenges, where do you start? So the challenge is, if you think about manufacturing in the past, we had playbooks. So you must have heard about Lean, Six Sigma, continuous improvement process methodologies. Well, they've all been evolved, codified, and used as playbooks for the last six decades. Now you have technologies that are emerging. This terminology 4.0 was coined probably less than a decade back. And things are changing, evolving, the rapid advancement of technologies. And there is no single playbook. So if you think about that, like that's, okay, how do you go about taking advantage of a technology that is rapidly evolving when there is no playbook? And number two, to take advantage of the technology, you need to have systems and controls that are modernized. If you go around the take an own company. So we have plans that are cutting edge that were designed and implemented 4 years ago. And then I have plans that was built when my dad was born. And the machines that are running now built when I was born. So how do you take advantage or overcome the technology debt in taking care? And then the third big one is around how do you take advantage? How do you upgrade the skills and the talent to go about making this transformation?
And so you mentioned three different areas that are large areas in and of itself, right? With the talent, the technology, the technical depth that you have, is this all left on one digital transformation team, or how do you get other leaders in the business bought into this process, and how I envision it rowing the boat along with you to make this change, right? Because it can't just be some separate team sitting off to the side who says, okay, we got all the new talent, all the new technology. It has to be infused into the existing business, right? So how do you work with the existing leaders, but drive and be that change agent?
Now, this is a great question. So different companies have attempted different things. So for us, the way I lead the transformation office, I report into the CEO office. I think the key advantage here is you need to be empowered to bring a cross-functional team in attacking the business challenges and bringing about the technology change while you upgrade the and upskill the talent. So the way we went about it is like, hey, anchored it on business outcomes. Where is the bang for the buck? And how do we go take advantage of these emerging technologies? And enlist a group of cross-functional team from operations, engineering, IT, and creating that, I would say, center of excellence. We call it digital process center of excellence within ours in going after this opportunity.
And so which piece of that do you find to be the most challenging? Is it, you know, the technology and figuring out the technical debt and migrating systems over to the new systems? Is it people and the mindset? Where do you see the biggest challenge?
All of them. The reality is it's all. I think there are two ways to go about it. What typically happens is like, hey, can we even size the pie? Size of the pie, the benefit. It starts with like, hey, what's the opportunity sizing here? Okay, now you could make some high-level estimate, guesstimate based on, okay, my productivity level is here, my quality level is here. If I were to improve this, I can get this. Now, that's to some extent, that's what the consultants do. That's the easier part. I can move from 90 to 95. The challenge is like, how do you know whether it's going to work or not? So the technology maturity, okay, is the technology evolved to the point? Because before iPod and iPhone came, there were a lot of other digital players. It never popularized till iPod came, right? So, okay, you have to have an inflection point where the technology is mature and you can take advantage of it. But you never know where it is, right? I think it's the evolving one. I think that's number one challenge. And then on the talent side, like, hey, who are the curious people, but at the same time, resilient enough to go through the trials and tribulations? And what we did on the technology debt, this is something we did as best practice. It's ingenious, because if you put the cost that it takes to upgrade some of these control systems to take advantage, it runs into hundreds of thousands and millions. What we did was like we parked, as part of any manufacturing, you have some maintenance dollars, regular upkeep. We parked a couple of these big projects as part of the maintenance bucket so that like it doesn't hit my ROI number, because anyway, it has to be done. It's been running for 40 years. The parts are obsolete. We need to do it. Now you park that out. Now you have an opportunity from an ROI standpoint.
When we think about these digital transformations, this is not something that happens overnight. You know, a lot of times we're doing these for organizations that have been around for 25, 50, 75, 100 years, right? Long-standing organization. What should be our expectations going into it, and how quickly we need to move with these, and how long it should take?
Fantastic question. So that is this the leadership expectation, and then there is this reality. So everybody says, I need it now. Can you show me your results next year? Or probably I'll give you one more year. The reality is, it is going to take time. And it's going to take time based on where the company is and how the data is organized and what technology upgrades are needed. And the important thing from those who are championing or running the digital transformation is to set the expectation with the leadership team, which is what I did. We came on and said, like, hey, we are, transformation is about building capabilities to deliver strategic outcomes. In this case, you are building capabilities, digital capabilities, where you don't know what's working and what's not. So depending on which study you find, read either McKinsey or Deloitte or PwC, they would say like, hey, 70 to 90% do not meet their expected numbers. But they also have in the same study, 10% of those hit it out of the park. We are one of those 10 percenters. The key though is like when we started it, like we didn't know how long. The reality is we didn't know what we didn't know. So we failed three times, 18 months, three different vendors, three different algorithms, three different technologies. We didn't know what we were doing. We were kind of swimming. The only good news is like we did not give up because we kind of starting to understand what the possibilities were. And we found out you need to lay in the data foundation. And how do you set it up so you could take advantage of it? Now, 5 years into the journey, we could say like, it's unbelievable on what the possibilities are.
Amazing. It definitely sounds like there's a lot of perseverance that you need to have when going on one of these transformations, along with keeping that vision of where you're headed. You mentioned failing three times. What did you learn from those? You know, what was kind of the mindset coming in the first time? And, oh, we learned something from that. Each failure, we learned something from. So can you highlight some of the learnings from each of those times you tried?
So the three times on one particular technology, we failed on all the other technologies multiple times too. So I think the key here is like just on one, the big data analytics rollout with the AI ML. The first time was like we were attracted to the shiny object. So the vendors came in. We tried actually a startup. We tried a mid-sized company. And then we tried an established large-scale vendor. All three failed. I think the learnings were different for each one of them. The key here, if I were to summarize the learnings, one is, okay, what promised as shiny object does not really work. It's like at the end of the day, we own the business outcome. The external consultants have a point of view. It does not add up. Number two, the learning was it takes time to organize data. The problem is like when people talk about machine learning, AI, you got all these things working. Well, if you have the self-driving car or the other ones, they've been doing this for the last decade in curating, correcting, organizing, rectifying. Nobody tells you that. So when you come like, okay, take my black box, you don't need your engineers, algorithm will spit out what needs to be done, you just have to go and tweak it. Hell no. Well, and it takes time. And the third thing people don't tell is like, it takes time. It takes multiple iterations before you figure it out. So for example, when we first started, like we didn't know what technology capabilities are and then what we need to do and how do you organize your data. We had about 600 tags for our process and machine for a particular one that we selected when we first started. Now, 2 years into the project, we are 2,500 tags. So you're tracking different sensors, different things, including temperature, humidity in the atmosphere and everything, because everything else affects. Now, you go from 600 to 2,500. Every time you go, your old data is useless or much less useful. So till you get to a point where you have captured the different data, understood how to use technology, you are losing time. It feels like you're losing time. But what you're doing is that you're learning every time. But now you know how to lay the foundation, how to do the taxonomy nomenclature, provides the foundation.
Yes, it reminds me very much in terms of, you know, how many times in science we have to fail in an experiment, right, before we get something that had significant results. And I think maybe there's something a little backwards in our world where we only share, you know, the projects that worked, right, or the scientific findings that had significant results and was that breakthrough. But it really is all of the areas we tried that didn't work that finally led us to that one place that did work. And so I appreciate you sharing some of those learnings from your journey because, you know, each time, yes, it may seem like a failure, but as you mentioned, it was just a step along the road to lead you to where you are today. And so, you know, it sounds like you're firing on all cylinders and things are transforming rapidly. What's next for you in the digital transformation that you're in? You know, what is the vision that you have and kind of where to go next? You know, you mentioned so much of bringing the data together and making sure it's in the right format. What's next?
So we have the contextualized analytics platform. Now, we started with a single portion in the process value chain. Now we are going upstream and downstream, and then linking all the value chain and doing it at the value chain standpoint. So you're increasing the scope of opportunities. We're going all the way upstream to raw materials and external customer quality. What did we ship and how do these things correlate? It just opens up new opportunities that we didn't even think exist. But if I were to take a step back on just the potential gains for us, so while we went through this exercise, remember, we are not, IPG is recognized for continuous improvement. We are best plant winner multiple times, multiple plants won it. So we have a strong foundation on process improvement, continuous improvement, problem solving. With that said, we thought we were operating best in class because we couldn't find any other ways to improve. There was one project that they were trying to reduce the bubble pop along it before so they could improve the yield and productivity. We spent 3 years on the project applying the typical Lean Six Sigma tools, couldn't really go anywhere. Then came these digital capabilities. We do a digital hackathon, a few hours looking at all the data, correlating insights. While we found out an insight or a root cause that we wouldn't have found normally going through the typical problem solving process, which increased our yield, say from 90% to 95% and sustained it for the last 2 years. Now, what you're talking about is like a watershed moment. Like you thought you're best in class, 4-minute mile barrier. Now suddenly you broke the records and now you're opening up opportunities that we thought didn't exist. So to me, it's like from an opportunity wise, we can now have a pipeline of productivity, yield improvement projects for the next 3 to 5 years across the different plants based on our understanding of the technology and the models of this time. This is what I'm super excited about because we don't know what we don't know. So as you start uncovering more, it just opens up a big funnel of opportunities. Number two, I am super excited about the generative AI and what it would be able to do for the manufacturing. It can completely change the paradigm on how we are operating because this is something that has not been envisioned for a long time. So we're all operating in lean operating system in any factory in the world you go. That's the way of thinking. But now with digital and AI and Gen AI, this just revolutionized. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why do I have to go to the board, write it down? Why do I have to do these problem solving this way? So you now have an opportunity to completely rewrite how we run the operating system and the manufacturing floor.
Yeah, I think this is one of the great opportunities of working in this space is just when you've got to a point in your digital transformation, right, where things are running smoothly and operating well, a new technology comes out, a new innovation, a new advancement. And now you can look at it and say, great, now how do we start to transform to bring in generative AI? And once you start to bring that into the business, you know, we'll have another transformation in technology. And so it's really a continuation, right? There is no arriving in your digital transformation. It sounds like it's a continual journey that one must go on.
Very true. And it's also like it's a very significant sustainable competitive advantage. Because if you think about it, like we failed 3 times and then spent another year and a half before we laid the foundation that worked. Now we are scaling it across multiple plants. If you have not taken the time, you have given up early or like thought this was mumbo jumbo, One, you're losing out on your opportunity. Number two, when another technology like Gen AI come, you can't even go near it because you don't have the system organized. So you need to have the foundation. Now we are able to take advantage because you don't have to worry about, you can't hallucinate in manufacturing with the Gen AI because the machine has to run. So the key here is like it now provides you opportunity to take advantage of the systems that you put in and keep improving.
I love it. I think it's, if I were to sum it up, you're really telling people just get started, right? Just get started. You're probably going to fail. You know, it's like trying anything new, whether that's you're learning a new workout, you're learning to play an instrument, right? It's not great the first time you try, right? But getting started, trying every day, you're going to have learnings, you're going to make progress, and you're going to be so happy that you did because the next technology that comes out, you're going to be so much further along and better prepared for it to be able to integrate it into your business and be able to get an advantage if you hadn't started a year ago, 3 years ago, et cetera.
Most definitely, most definitely. And the other interesting fact is like this, for the Gen AI, it's truly democratizing technology insight to the front line. What used to take 12 to 18 months to onboard a new employee on some of our complex machines that has 600 variables that we have to track, with the foundation laid in, and as long as they have some common sense, they get asked the question and they get the answer back because the insights have been laid in. This is just revolutionary.
Yeah, what used to be institutional and almost tribal knowledge within the business, it's almost like you have like a digital twin, right, of the data replicated in the business that people can explore and look at and interact with. I love that word democratizing too, because it allows people to get up to speed and more importantly, add value to the business so much faster, right?
Well, now very true. So let me give you rights. In the digital journey so far, you realize it because you have some of these power users who know analytics, who can look at dashboard, do some correlation, insight. They are the first pioneers to take advantage, right? So they contextualize data. They used to crunch data in different ways in the past. Now you do it holistically with these AI ML models. But the frontline people were not necessarily fully engaged. They still need to learn a few dashboarding, few things. But with Gen AI, even that hurdle is taken away. That obstacle is not there. You can come in as long as you can ask the question, why is my line 2 running slower than yesterday? You'll get the answer. And you can know what to do, how to go about it, because it's built in. It's unbelievable on how these new Gen AI technologies are transforming and democratizing it.
How do you think this changes, you know, the future of how we work?
It's going to be drastic. It's going to be humongous in a very positive way. I'm extremely positive. So, for example, we were almost every conversation where it's a drudgery or things that you would have taken more time. These act as your co-pilots and coaches or your personal assistants, depending on which ones you want to use. It could be a coach. It could be a personal assistant, or it could be a glorified intern doing the things if fast enough that you take advantage of the insights. You still have to apply your human intelligence on top of it, but it cuts down the amount of work that needs to be done. It's just phenomenal. And it cuts across all the different layers. In the past, it was more the technocrats or more technically minded were the ones who were taking advantage. With the Gen AI, it's the frontline people who don't necessarily have the problem-solving skills and the other ones. They are all empowered and they are all having the same set of insights and capabilities. This is what's making it phenomenal.
So if you think the world is moving quickly now, just get ready because it's only going to move much faster, right? When we don't have to do all the daily tasks, right? So not our whole job, but task parts of our job. So the tasks that we do, and that can be offboarded to an autonomous machine. I mean, the speed at which things are going to move and transform is only going to grow exponentially.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. Well, It's definitely an exciting time to live in. And, you know, I love just your openness and what you've shared in terms of the transformational journey that you've been on, some of the learnings that you had. On a personal note, though, as someone who has such vast experience in the manufacturing and the technology sectors, what advice do you give for manufacturing leaders looking to create that resilient strategy, that strategy that's going to last not only the 3 years, but 5 years, and set them up for the next 50 years of business?
Now, I truly believe getting on digital AI is the roadmap for sustainable advantage in manufacturing. It's going to completely transform the industry, and just get on it as quickly as possible.
I love it. Well, that's a great way to wrap us up here today. Jai, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and chat with us. This has been a fantastic conversation. If individuals want to stay connected with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
LinkedIn.
All right. We'll be sure to add that to the show notes. Again, thank you so much for your time. And I can't wait to see some of the advancements and things that you transform here in the next coming years as well.
Wonderful. Very good.
All right.
Sandy, and your team and your members.
And a big thank you to our listeners. Remember to stay curious and keep learning. And we'll catch you next time on the Data Bytes podcast. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Data Bytes podcast. If you're looking for more resources to further your data career or find your tribe, we encourage you to become a member at womenindata.org. See you on the other side.